Amen. Can everybody hear me now? Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody on Facebook, on YouTube. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. We are a Bible-based church located in West Philadelphia. Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Amen. Amen. It's a holiday weekend. That just means we got tomorrow off. Amen. Amen. And if you're retired, you already had tomorrow off. But if you're not retired, you got tomorrow off. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to do the scripture and then we will have prayer. But I just want to say hallelujah. Amen. Another week, we've been brought through. Even if you're watching online at home, God has kept you for another week. Amen. Amen. For our scripture this morning, I want to go to Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. Amen. So if we could all stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start with verse 8. For what? For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. 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 So let's think about that. Hallelujah. It's not about what we have done. It's not about what our titles are, right? It's not about any of that. It's about Him and what He is. We're what? His workmanship. Amen. Amen. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For we are your workmanship. Hallelujah. That means we do have value. Hallelujah. You created us out of your love. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, hallelujah, for we have value in your sight, hallelujah, hallelujah, created out of your love, hallelujah, protected from, hallelujah, out of your love, provided for out of your love. We thank you, O Lord. Lord, we thank you for bringing us through every single day. We thank you because as you said in your word, hallelujah, when we see you afar off, hallelujah, we can see you through everything that's going on and seek you. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, help us right now to shake off the circumstances of life so that our hearts are ready, so that our minds are ready, so that all the things that try to encumber us would be moved out of the way, that you would get the glory and the honor out of this service and out of our lives. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah, shift our vision up right now to see you. Turn our gaze unto you, O Lord, and not what we got to deal with later today or tomorrow. Change our vision right now to see you and say, glory, 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 hallelujah. no matter what is going on. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, O Lord. Lord, for those who are traveling, watch over them. For those who are watching online, comfort them wherever they are right now. Heal their bodies. Let them feel your presence. We thank you, Christ Jesus. Lord, come in right now. Sit next to us. Let us feel your light. Let us feel your warmth. Most of all, Lord, let us experience your love, that you would be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And amen. I'm going to bring up Sister Leah. I think I saw her come in. She's got her microphone. She's going, what is it? S-A-A-A-A-A-N-G for us. Amen. And we're going to join her. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 We all sing. We all praise him with the fruit of our lips to give him glory and honor, because he's truly worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, my hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. All of the glory belongs to you. Oh, all of the glory belongs to you. Oh, all of the glory belongs to you. All of the glory, all of the glory belongs to you. Oh, you deserve it. You deserve it. My hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, my hallelujah, thank you, Lord, belongs to you. Oh, my hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, my hallelujah. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Because all you deserve, yes, God, you deserve it. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve it. You deserve. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, and you're worthy of the honor. You deserve. Oh, we say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, all the praise. Say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise you deserve. You deserve. You deserve. Thank you, Lord. You deserve. Oh, we sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All the glory and all the honor and all the praise, all the praise. Say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All the glory and all the honor and all the praise you deserve. Thank you, Lord. You deserve. You deserve it. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve. You deserve. Oh, my hallelujah belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my hallelujah belongs to you. Oh, my hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my hallelujah. My hallelujah belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh yes, oh yes. Come on, church, let's give him the praise. Come on. My hallelujah belongs. Come on. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. It belongs to him. It belongs to him. I owe him the praise. Good God, help me. Woo! Yes, my hallelujah belongs to him. Oh my God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Woo! I'm stirred up. I'm stirred up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Oh, my soul loving. My soul love him. My soul love him. Hallelujah. My soul love him. Woo! My soul love Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, if you got your Bible, let's go right to the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. All month long, in honor of mothers and our women, it's just been preaching thematically out of 2 Kings, primarily chapter 4, talking about mothers. If
You were with us at the beginning of the month. I started out by talking about a mother's, her hospitality and how that blessed her. And then the Mother's Day, we talked about a mother's faith and how a mother's faith blessed the Shunammite woman. Then on last Sunday, we talked about a mother's oil. Thank God for all the women who brought oil. There were some women who actually got the message because they just didn't bring a bottle. I saw one woman put four bottles of oil on the altar. I said, Lord Jesus. I said, the Lord be with you. But she got the message. Because like we said on last Sunday, sometimes as a mother, all you have is the oil in your house. And so we preached on that. And then this Sunday, we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 8. And this Sunday, we're going to preach from the subject of mother's restoration. Okay? You got her hospitality, you got her faith, you got her oil. And on this Sunday, we're going to talk about a mother's restoration. And thank God for all of you who have been responding so positively. I think this month, gotten more emails and text messages about the sermons and the service and all of that. So God be praised for all of you that are being blessed by this series of messages. And I hope this one blesses you as well as we close out the series. If you have it, 2 Kings chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Then Elijah spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years. So the woman arose, did according to the saying of the man of God. She went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. It came to pass at the end of the 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and also for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, who was the servant of the man of God. He said to him, tell me, please, all of the great things that Elisha has done. Now, it happened that as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, the king, this is the woman and this is her son whom Elijah restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. And so the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all of the proceeds from the field from the day she left until now. Are you with me on that? And the king told, the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers and all of the proceeds from the field from that day, from the day she left till the day she returned. The king said, give her everything. Right? Today, we're going to conclude by preaching a mother's restoration. Amen? Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, your name is worthy to be praised. And as such, count us worthy that we might lift our voice in unison with the angels in heaven and give you all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. Because, Lord, you are worthy. You're worthy of all the praise and so much more. So in the fleeting moments that we have here today, Holy Spirit, if you would, give us ears to hear. Holy Spirit, if you would, give us eyes that we might see. And above all, give us a heart that will obey. That at the preaching of your word, our faith might be stirred again unto godliness and good works in Jesus' name. This is our prayer. We ask it for your glory and your glory alone. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. A mother's restoration. That word restoration, let's start it right there. Restoration generally refers to the act of returning something to its original condition or to a better state. Are you with me? I'm going to read it again because this is the sermon here. If you digest this here, you got the sermon. You ready? Restoration refers to the act of restoring something either to its original condition or to a better state. Are you with me? And to this Sunday, we're going to talk about a mother's restoration, right? That God is going to do something and bring her back to the way she was or to a better state. Now, if anyone wants to volunteer to preach this sermon, you're welcome. I done did all the hard work. All you got to do is stand here and preach it, right? That's the sermon right there. Are you with me? Here it is. 15 minutes. I'm going to prove it. Here it is. So Elijah, verse 1, comes, says to the Shunammite woman. Wait, before I even get into it. Here it is. Josh got me on the big board. Here it is. Here's restoration. This is how restoration is going to work in your life by the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Here it is. It's three nails for the whole sermon. Here it is. The first one is, it's going to be a warning, right? That's how you know restoration is coming. First, God is going to give you a warning, right? Now, the most important thing about God's warning is that you are able to hear it, right? You must be able to hear God's warning, right? It doesn't help you if the fire alarms in your house go off and you don't hear it. How does it help you? It doesn't aid you anything, right? It's only helpful to you if you what? If you hear it. Right? Then you know what? There's trouble coming. Why? Because I hear the alarm. Here's the second key to restoration. Anytime there's restoration, listen, there will always be a setback. Right? By definition, it has to be, because to restore something, you got to bring it back to the way it was. And so in order to bring it back to the way it was originally, it means that there's been what? A setback. There's been a loss. There's been damage incurred, right? That's the reason you need restoration, right? So in restoration, there one will always be a warning. Got to be able to hear it. Number two, there will always be a setback, right? That's the reason you need restoration. And here's the third one, John. Here it is. warning, setback, and then the third part of restoration always involves timing. It always involves timing, right? And as believers, we all know and believe that what? God's timing is always perfect, right? So what we used to sing in the old church is what? He may not come when you want him, but what? He's always right on time. Why? Because God's timing is perfect. And that timing piece, it's important to understand that, because when you operate in the kingdom, when you operate in the spirit, timing is important. Right? God does things in order, in a certain way. And so if you miss the timing of God, oftentimes you miss the move of God. Right? And they tell us in biblical times that when the water was stirred, what? Who got the blessing? The one that was what? First in the water. The timing. You got to be there when the Spirit moves. Are you with me? Okay, good. Restoration, warning, setback, and timing. Okay? Now here we go. Let's jump into it. So Elijah tells the Shunammite woman, arise, take you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And not only that, it's going to be an extended famine. It's not going to be a 1 week famine, right? So you just don't go to BJ's this week. This is going to be a 7 year famine, right? Not only is it going to hurt, it's going to hurt for a long time, right? And so, like I said, so that's the warning. So the man of God comes, tells the Shunammite woman, hey, this is coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming, right? And as a result, you need to make a move. He said, the best move you can make, you got to get out of this land. Go somewhere else, right, that is outside of the famine God's got to bring, so that you and your family can be preserved, right? So she got to make a move. Now, I can imagine the Shunammite woman, and one of the things that we can imply in this passage, even though it's not explicitly stated, this is what they call in theological teaching, implied information. What we can imply, unlike in the previous stories regarding the Shunammite woman, when her husband was alive but old, right? That's when she had hospitality and faith, her husband was alive. It's just Gehazi said, he's old, right? Right? So, but now, this is years later, we can safely assume that the husband is dead, right? I'm going to tell you, as you look through the story, we can assume that because what? The woman goes to the king. Well, it's not her land, it's her husband's land. So by right, it should have been the husband should have made the appeal for the land. We assume that he didn't, because he's unable. Why? Because he's died, right? So she's not just a mother, but now at this stage in her life, she's a widow. And now you're telling me God's sending a famine and I have to uproot my family, no husband now, and move to a foreign land, no friends, no family, in order to live. That's what the man of God was telling her, right? And so I told you, the most important part to a warning is your ability to hear it, right? Your ability to hear it. 1 Kings chapter 19. Matter of fact, turn there, because this is worth getting. 1 Kings 19. If you have your Bible, everybody turn there, because I want you to. This is worth the price of admission right here. Are you there? 1 Kings chapter 19. Look at 11, and we'll just go down a little. 1 Kings 19, 11. Then he said, now he's talking to Elijah here, Elijah's forerunner. He said to him, he says, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And there was a great and strong wind that tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. Said God, as God spoke, the wind stirred up. And the wind was so aggressive that it began to rip the mountain apart. The force of the wind, right? Now look what he says. It says, but the Lord was not in the wind. Right? All of that great demonstration of power. But he said, when, he says, after that wind, there came an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Are you following me? And it says, after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. All of these great demonstrations of power that would seem likely to represent or be associated with the presence of God, and yet none of it contained his voice. Look what it says. It said, after the fire, a still small voice. That's when the voice of God came. Not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the stillness, the calm, the peace, the tranquility. It was there that God spoke. Are you with me? Listen to me. Whether you're here in the sanctuary, whether you're coming in over YouTube or Facebook Live, hear me and hear me well. Find a way to get quiet. You hear what I'm telling you? As your pastor, I'm telling you, you gotta find a way to bring a peace, a calm, or a level of quietness to your life. At some point in your day, you gotta get quiet. Whether it be the first thing in the morning, whether it be the last thing you do at night, whether it's during your coffee, I don't care how, I don't care when, I don't care where you, but you gotta learn to get quiet. Why? What is this verse teaching us? That God speaks when it's quiet. And if you don't get quiet, you're what? You're gonna what? You're gonna miss the warning. You're going to turn around, and in your prayer and in your frustration, you're going to blame God for what happened. That's what you're going to do. And after you get finished doing all of that, God's going to wait till you get it all out and lay on the floor, all that type of stuff. He's going to say, I did tell you. You just didn't hear me. You didn't hear me because your life was too loud. Your kids were too loud. Your companion was too loud. Your job was too loud. Your health got too loud. And I came to speak to you. I came to warn you about what was going to happen. And you didn't hear it. Why? Because you couldn't get quiet. That's worth the sermon right there. If you say, Pastor, I can't even stay to the end. But that right there, that if you get that, that'll bless you. Right? Because that's when God speaks, when it's quiet. When there's too much noise going on, it's not that God's not speaking, he is. It's just that you can't hear it. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Good, I'm done with it. Verse 2, he said, now let me go back to where I was. I'm over at 19, I don't want to be there. Here it is. So the woman arose, did according to the saying of the man of God. She went with a household, dwelt in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. First, you got to get quiet so you can hear. Right? Once you hear the word, the next thing you have to do is what? You got to obey. We used to sing a simple song, one of my favorite songs, simple songs. Trust and obey. Why? There's no other way. Listen, to be happy in Jesus, but to what? Trust and obey. That's all the Shunammite woman did. She simply trusted what the man of God said, and her faith was demonstrated by what? Her obedience. She came back and said, guys, we're moving. Where? Why? When? Imagine the onslaught of questions from her son, her servant. What? Why now? What's going on? And remember, she moved before the famine came. So it wasn't like the famine was there, oh yeah, we need to move. It ain't nothing going on. No. Things were going well where she was in Shunem. Right? But by faith, she what? She moved the whole house. Said, we gotta go. Why? Because God had given her a warning. Are you with me? So here it is, verse 3. Here it is. So it says, it came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines. And she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. During the famine and because of her absence, the Shunammite woman must have lost ownership to her land that she had with her husband, right? So she leaves before the famine comes. Leaves, packs up, just, I'm out. During this extended hiatus, she loses control of her land. Why? She's not there. She can't, no one's there to represent her, to speak for her, right? So others come in, take over her land, and begin to profit off of what she owned. So now she comes back home, right? Returns to Shunem, finds that others have taken over her property and her land. So she does the only thing that she can do is appeal to the king for what? Restoration. Right? So that's what she does. She's back. Oh my God, what done happened? So here it is. So the Shunammite woman made a legal appeal to the king to support her ownership claim. In Israel, the king was the final arbiter of such legal disputes. He was the highest authority, and he was the final authority. Whatever he said, that's going to be binding. Either he'll restore you, or he won't. So she goes to make this appeal to get back what is rightfully hers. Watch this. Watch what I'm going to say. Which she lost because she obeyed God. What do you do when obeying God doesn't pay off? What do you do when praying to God doesn't help? If you don't know, ask the Shunammite woman. She'll tell you. She said, I did everything that God warned me and told me to do, yet I'm suffering a setback. I've been obedient, but I get a setback. I've been faithful, but I suffer a setback. I did everything by the book, but I still incur loss and damage. What do you do when you suffer? So here it is. I give you another sentence, and I'm going to give you another sentence. Every sermon, I try to get one good sentence. Here it is right here. If you get this, Lord Jesus, here it is. A setback in your life is often a setup in God's plan and purpose for you. Josh, am I on the big board? Look, it's black and white. Even if you can't hear it, a setback in your life is often a setup in God's plan and purpose for you. God works through the setback. A lot of times we see a setback and we falsely assume God is not working. Because if he had been working, I would have never suffered what? A loss. I would have never incurred any damage. If God was here, if God was protecting me, right? But this is why you need a good pastor. Because a good pastor will tell you that what? That a setback in your life is often a set up in God's plan for you. Look at somebody and tell them he's setting you up. No need to cry about it. No need to get upset about it. Just have faith and trust God that what seems like a setback today is really a set up for tomorrow. Are you with me? Help me. Help me, Gabe. Help me somehow. Lord Jesus, help me. Here it is. The sermon's over. Here it is right here, 4 or 5. So now, verse 4, the king is talking with Gehazi. They're having an acai yego lemonade from Starbucks. Acai lemonade from Starbucks. So you know who get that in my house. So the king and Gehazi are having an acai lemonade in the palace just delivered from Starbucks. And the king said, he said, look, tell me all of the great miracles that the man of God has done in Israel. We just sitting here talking. And he said, this is what I want you to do. Tell me, just run the resume down. Tell me the miracles wrought at the hand of the man of God. I said, okay, if you want to know, here it is, verse 5. And it said, as Gehazi began to tell the king, it said, verse 5, now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead back to life, that there in the court of the king was the very woman whose son he had restored back to life. They're having a lemonade. She's coming to appeal for her land. And it all happened at the same time. I'm preaching so much better than the way y'all reacting. It's a shame. Right? This is the timing of God. Why? Because even though it was a setback, what? God was still working. God was just moving pieces around on the chessboard. He was just getting it set up for the way he was going to bless you. And while the woman was coming, hoping, praying to get a land back, Gehazi and the king, over in acai lemonade, was hearing the exploits of the man of God. And as he began to tell him about the young man that Elisha had restored to life, it just so happened that at the very moment, here comes the Shunammite woman into the king's presence, making an appeal with his agent. I want what is rightfully mine taken from me. Gave me a setback. Forced me to leave. Forced me to do it out. But in God's time, he made everything all right. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Providentially, right? I use that word so you guys know I went into school and got an education. Right? Every now and then you throw out a couple big words. That's how they believe the plaques on the wall. Providentially. In the church, we would just say supernaturally. By divine order. the widow arrived, just as Gehazi was describing how Elijah had raised her son from the dead. It just so happened that at the same time that the Shunammite woman was making her appeal to the king, that Gehazi was telling the king about the miracles of Elijah, which included the resurrection of the Shunammite woman's son. Are you with me? Here it is. I'm finished. Galatians 6 and 9 says this. Let us not be weary in well doing. Why? For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Look at somebody and tell them timing's everything. Timing is everything. Go ahead, tell them again so they get the message. Because timing will bring about your due season. Your due season. Your due season is the season when the blessings of God have been earmarked to come to pass in your life. Look at somebody and say, you got a season. But the challenge as believers in our faith walk and in our faith journey is that we've got to be able to weather the storms of life. You got to be able to live through winter months. You got to be able to live and persevere through seasons of lack, seasons of disappointment, seasons of regret. Keep living. Don't die. Your due season is on. It's on. It's on the way. Hallelujah to God. He told me to tell you, you will reap if you faint not. I know you had a setback. I know you had loss. I know you incurred damage. Hang on. Well, yes, your due season is on the way. Your due season is around the corner. Hang on in there. God will make. Well, yes. It's my season. Yes. Look at somebody. Tell them it's my season. Yes. Yes. I dare you to praise God now. I double dare you. I triple dare you to give God a praise. It's my season. It's my season. I've endured the setback. I endured the loss. And now it's my seat. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I made it. I made it. Never thought I would see this day, but I made it through the storms of life. I made it through every setback. I made it. Well, the Lord is restoring me.
me back. Restore the joy. Lord, give it back. Give it back. Give it back, God. Press down, shaking together, running. I dare you to praise God. I dare you. I dare you. I double dare. He's going to restore it all. He's going to give it back. Press down. Shaking together. Run it. Yes. Get it back. Get it back. Whatever the devil stole, get it back. Whatever the devil took, get it back by. Yes, yes, praise God until He restores it. Woo! Where are the women of Zion? Where are the mothers of? I dare you to praise God now. Woo! I'm gonna praise God till He restores everything back to me. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your season is coming due. Your season is around the corner. God has promised to restore everything that the devil stole from you. Give Him a praise. I got to get out of this sermon. Lord Jesus, help me get out of here. Holy Ghost, help. Help me, Holy Ghost. Woo! Yes. Use the oil. Use the oil. Use the oil to help you make it. Till your season comes due. Yeah. me have it, guys. Let me have it. What you're missing out of the story is not only, I don't have time for this. The first thing I want you to see, notice what verse 6 says. Verse 6 said, the king appointed a certain officer. I wish I had a real church. What was a certain officer for the Shunammite woman represents to us certain angels that have been assigned to you. He said, I'll give my angels charge over you that even though you suffer a setback, God said, I'm going to command the angels to bless you anyway. Look at somebody and said, I got angels. I got angels. I got angels. Mother Mary, I can make it if I know I got angels watching over me. I might not make it if I just got you and Radcliffe. That may not be enough. I may not make it if all I have is Sister Margaret looking out for me. But I'm glad that God gave me an angel. He gave the angel specific instructions. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up, Joe. It's in the book. He said, look, you're my right hand. He said, go back to Shunem with the woman. And the Bible said, the king told him, restore everything. The mother got her restoration. You know what? Sister Lee, I'm glad you stayed. Because these guys, they don't know none of the songs from the old church. But the Winans family used to sing a song. And they said it like this. Sister Lee will know it. Restoration has finally come. I had to endure a setback, Josh. I had to go to a period of loss, John. I suffered damage. Had to lose a husband, almost lost my son, lost all of my land. But guess what? Restoration has finally come. And now God has restored me back to my place in God. Restoration. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Young people, turn your phones off. Look at me. This is important for you too. God has your restoration on his calendar. It may not be on your calendar. You may not believe that restoration will ever But I believe God gave me this message for someone who is suffering through a season or seasons of setback.
Raise your hand if you can relate to this. You ever gone through an experience where it's one setback after another setback after another? I mean, you're not even recovered from the first setback, and here come another one. And you have to endure a series of setbacks. But I'm telling you, I got the message from on high. If you can just hang in there, if you can just trust and obey, it may take 7 years, but restoration will finally come. But you got to be able to endure. This is what Dr. Taylor used to tell us. She used to say it like this. You got to be able to endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, you're a soldier. You see good days and you see plenty of bad days. You got to fight a long time before victory is finally won. I don't know who I'm preaching to. And I don't even know why I got to preach like this. But God told me to tell you that restoration is on its way. For you, your house, your family, your finances, your health, your body. It's coming. It's coming. Just hang in there. Your restoration is on God's calendar. And He's already instructed the angel to bless you. It's guaranteed. You just got to live long enough. Not quit. Not throw in the towel. Not backslide. When you're right on the verge, the next step is it. Norm, I say this and I'm done. It wasn't enough for the king to restore her land, restore her house, in which she built a room for the man of God to give her the land back, give her the house back. Listen, you're not getting the story. That's all the Shunammite woman wanted. That's all she asked for. I just want my land and house. Just give it. That it was my husband's. I'm a legal. I want that. My son is here. We just want back what was ours. And that's all she appealed to the king for. Are you getting it? It's right there. I don't need to preach it. It's right. You got it. You don't need me anymore. The first 15 minutes of the sermon is mine. The next 15, that's yours. You get whatever you want out of it. I stopped preaching 15 minutes ago. This is, if you want it, get it. If you don't, that's fine. The king said, not only give her the land back, not only give her the house back. He said, I want you to go back and mark the date she left. He said, any prophet that has accumulated from the day she left until the day she entered the king's court, he said, I command you to give it all back to the Shunammite woman. She didn't work for it. She didn't labor for it. All she wanted from the king was a land and house. But God rewarded her faithfulness. because you got quiet enough to hear the warnings of God. You were faithful enough to endure a setback from God. But notice something about the famine. The famine wasn't a result of her enemies. God sent the famine. God was the cause of her setback. But she didn't complain. You know another song we used to sing, Leah? I won't complain. It's been some good days. It's been some hard days. But I've learned enough by trusting that through it all, you know what I mean? I won't complain. Why? God has a way of paying back those that are faithful to Him. So I won't complain, even though I had to be uprooted for 7 years. I won't complain. Now I got to go to court and fight for what's already my... I won't complain. And as a result of her faithfulness, God blesses her more. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. She got all of the profit from 7 years of labor she never performed. Why? Because God has promised to restore the joy back to those that love Him. That's my message, church. Somebody, restoration is around the corner. I came to preach this singular message so that you would hold on. The Galatians says, be not weary. You know what comes after weariness? He tells you, fainting. He said, don't faint. You get wet, don't faint though. That's why we come to church on Sunday. Why? That we might hear a song sung. That we might hear a testimony given. That we might hear the word of life preached. And something inside of me is stirred up. For what? So I can press on. Another day, another week, another month. I can endure. Why? Because the man of God just said, 7 years, once it's over, God's going to restore. He's not only going to give back what you lost, but He's going to give back everything that the devil stole from you. Shall we stand all over the house? I feel so strongly in my spirit that this message has somebody's name on it. It's not just a good sermon. It's not just a good message. But it's a specific sermon with a specific message for a specific person. This sermon's got your name on it. And all I want to do is challenge you as your pastor that by faith, receive it. Receive. Receive what God has prepared for you. Do you know what the wonder of the manna was? Anybody know what the miracle of the manna was? Most people jump out and say, oh yeah, that they came out and it was there. It came from heaven and all that. And that's true. That's a miracle. And that's unseen and unheard of. But here's the real miracle of the manna. And most people miss this. And I don't blame the people. I blame the preachers for not preaching it correctly and thoroughly. The miracle of the manna was this, Josh. You can only gather enough for your family for that day. Just you and your husband, just get 2 pieces of manna. That's it. That's all you need for today. You got kids, get some extra. Okay, get manna for them. But only gather enough for today. Then they had to believe God for tomorrow's portion. Anybody know what happens if they gathered more than what they needed? Anybody know what happened? Huh? The Bible said it would spoil in the cupboards. They open the cupboard tomorrow morning. There it is, rotten. God said, you didn't trust me. I'm the one that warned you. God said, I'm the one that sent the setback. Stop blaming the devil. The devil didn't do it. I did it. I sent the setback. I sent the famine. It was nothing more than a faith test for you. To see if you would trust me for your daily bread. To trust God for your daily bread means that what? When you get up in the morning, before you go to the cupboard, before you make your coffee, you got to go to God. Say, Lord, I trust you today for my daily bread. After the Israelites prayed that prayer, they could open the door and walk out of the house. And there, again, would be what? Fresh manna. All they had to do was take up whatever they needed for their house. That's how God sustains you through a setback. When you're suffering a setback, you don't have abundance. When you're suffering a setback, it's not only that you have less. Sometimes you have less than less. But guess what? It's still enough. We used to say, Leah, she's making me think of all my old church songs. We used to sing this, little is much. A little piece of bread is much. When God is, and Jesus proved it. He took a little boy's lunch, not nearly enough for what was in front of him. But when God got it, Lord Jesus, I'm not having church again. If you didn't shout the first time, it's on you. I'm not doing nothing else. He's going to restore you. He's going to give everything back. One thing that God is good as God, that most people never give him credit for. God is an excellent accountant. He keeps meticulous records. Everything you lost, the Bible said it's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's right there. He's got it written down. Why? So that when your restoration comes, he knows exactly what you lost, when you lost it, how you lost it, who took it. It's all right there. He's got the record. That's why Job said this. You know what Job said? Job, I'm finished. Lord knows. All this stuff keeps up. Job set my record. Job set my record's on high. I didn't keep record, but my record. God kept my record. And God knows. God knows what I've done. God knows the setbacks I've suffered. And by the same token, he knows the setbacks you have suffered. Don't nobody in the church know what you're going through. But God does. And I just want you to hold on long enough so God can prove himself in your life. That's what he wants to do. So that you will know that if it had not been for the Lord, I would have never made it. Restoration has finally come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God in heaven, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our daily bread. Thank you for fresh manna today. Thank you for letting us know that our restoration has a due date in heaven. And Father, I pray for this, your people, here in the sanctuary, upstairs in the overflow, over the internet, that by faith receive the word of God. And I pray to you for them that their faith fail not. Keep them against that day when they can see and taste the good of the land and know that God has restored their joy. So we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. People of God, say amen. Amen. Amen again. Come on, give God your best praise. Come on, give him your best praise. Come on, find a way. Give him your best praise. Your best. Your best.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 When we started this morning with the power up, what? The scripture said, look above and beyond, right? Whatever is going on. And the word came this morning. Amen. Amen. Hold on to that word. And also tell somebody that word. Amen. Amen. We can be restored and we can tell somebody, witness unto them. Hey, look. Hang in there, right? We can be restored. Amen? Amen. I'm going to transition us into the next part of our service, which is the snare drum put away yet? Can I get a quick drum roll or are we going with the snare drum? Oh, well. Offering time. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about our offering time. Amen? Amen. I'm going to read from here, but we know what I'm going to say. What? Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we can gather to worship through giving. Amen. This morning, you could give through one of several ways. Amen. First, you could give by text message. Text the code, quote, Taylor61 to the phone number 7 3256 and you will receive a link and instructions. Amen. You can give through our website. Please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. Amen. You can give by U.S. mail. You can send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. Amen. And for those who are here in the sanctuary, we have the baskets over there for the pastor's offering, the speaker's offering, and also for our tithes and offerings. Amen. They're clearly labeled. And if you would just drop it in there, over there on your way out today. Amen. Amen. And also with our pastor, apart from over there, you can give via Cash App, $ Pastor Jonathan Ford. And via Venmo is Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. Amen. As always, we thank everyone for their continued support. And also remember, because this is the month of May, what are we giving towards? Turning the Tide. Right. We're asking all members, $100, give to Turn the Tide. Because we're not turning the tide in here. We turn the tide in what? This community. Amen. Amen. So we're giving to the community to help turn it around and what? Restore. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our additional announcements, let me go through real quick. Every Sunday, we will gather at 8:30. I'm sorry, every first Sunday, we gather together at 8:30 a.m. for in-person corporate prayer. That's every first Sunday. Right, that's what I said. I'm coming to that. Yes, I know it's next Sunday, which is a communion Sunday, so we want to gather at what? 8:30 a.m. for corporate prayer. Amen. And if it's not a first Sunday, when do we get together to power up? We're actually moving it to 9:45. But yes, 9:30 is good, but 9:45, get here what? To prepare the atmosphere. And we're not just preparing what's going on in this room. You know the atmosphere you're really preparing when you power up? Right here. Right here. Because word says what? We want that word written on the fleshy tables of our hearts. So we're preparing our hearts and our minds to receive the word. Amen? Amen. Wednesday nights, we're having prayer and Bible study. Amen? That continues. I can't remember the code, but I normally have it. What is it? KZRYSBOOAH. Amen? Google Meets, KZRYSBOOAH. And there's a dash in between each thing where I took a break. Amen? So please join us on Wednesdays at 7, right? As we go through our articles, amen? Amen. Articles are what? Our fundamentals, amen? Also on Sunday schools from 8:30 to 9 a.m., that's via Google Meets, and we send out a text message with that, amen? And remember the pastor's YLE challenge with regard to Sunday school. And one quick thing, just on a side note for my teens, if you recall this morning, this is what I'm talking about, it's not coincidence. This morning, with some of the stuff we were talking about, dealt with what? Timing. I did not meet with the pastor and coordinate anything. That's what I'm saying. It's not coincidence. It's God sending a message to us. Amen? Amen. One last thing, there'll be a sign-in sheet in the entranceway for volunteers for the garden. We will need to help starting in June. Lynn Rossiter will send out an email during the week to let people know the tasks that need to be performed. Amen. Please reply back or show up, the following Sunday. Amen. So we're going to have a sign up sheet. People, amen. Make the effort. Amen. With that, I'm going to call out our pastor for the benediction. Unless there's any announcement I missed, I don't see it on my sheet. Any additional announcements? Well, I see the first lady getting up. That's why I'm going to make sure I'm not. Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Shall we all stand? I just want to share with you this communication that a little bird dropped off at the church sometime this week. says sometimes it's easy to forget just how much goodness there is all around us. To the pastor and to Sister Jermay and the Taylor Tabernacle family, as well as Taylor Nation, it says, but you all are a beautiful reminder of God's goodness. Thank you from Deaconess Helena Weich and Dr. Deanna Weich. Says, our hearts are overflowing with joy for all of your kindness. Amen. Just wanted to share that with you from the Weich family. Thank you to all those that were a blessing to her with her graduation. And then lastly, just before we close, I'm going to ask for Logan Lyons and Joshua Curitan, if they would come forward at this time. Let the video keep running, Josh, so they can get it on video so they know it was real. So as they're coming there, they represent our senior class. I'm going to ask them to stand here in front of the podium. So let me get all this stuff right. As you know, it's that time of the year. Our seniors are graduating and moving forward. So Sister Logan Lyons received the Thespian of the Year Award for her senior class. Okay? And if you don't know what a thespian is, Google it. Because that's what she is. Thespian of the Year for 24-25 Kingsway Regional High School. In addition, Joshua Curitan received a medal for media academic excellence in his senior year. Right? It's because of Josh that I look 10 pounds lighter on the internet. That's what you call media excellence. All right? And we want to thank God for them, for their hard work, not just in their senior year, but throughout their high school career. And as we give the benediction, I am going to ask that you come. Just be a blessing to them. Just come and love on them as they conclude their senior year, prepare for graduations and proms and all that good stuff. Amen? Now unto him that is able to keep us and present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and the host of heavenly angels, God, keep these children that we have committed into your hand from this day forward until you come again. In Jesus' name, all of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. God bless you, Taylor.